Topic 4. Unit 7B. Exercise 3.
Essie, as Jen said in the opening, First Five Live is really a deep dive into the First Amendment. And as a columnist, political commentator, and a TV host with a strong social media presence and a following, you clearly are using your First Amendment rights on a daily basis. So how does the First Amendment guide your work?
It is my work, right? Not only am I a writer and a columnist, I am an opinion columnist and an opinion writer and an opinion host, which means guarding my right to say what I believe is the whole ballgame for me. It's everything. And I've been lucky over the 20 years of my media career that no one's ever told me, you can't say that, mm-hmm. or you can't write that. And I've written and worked everywhere. I've written for conservative publications, liberal publications. I've worked at right-leaning news organizations, left-leaning, all, you know, runs the gamut. Right. And I've never had an editor or producer or anyone say, you can't say or write that. That's why I do this. And that's the fiber of my being as a person and a journalist that allows me to do what I do. We can take for granted here that having an opinion and sharing it is a right. And it is, and we're lucky. That's not the case everywhere. Right. And so I think about that every day because I'm not just, you know, opining on some soft stuff. I'm opining on real serious stuff. I call out the president. I call out institutions of power. That's very dangerous to do in countries where that's not really protected.
Right. You mentioned 20 years you've been kind of doing this. When did you discover the importance of the First Amendment? Was it growing up? Was it when you got into the business?
Yeah, a couple things I remember. Because I didn't grow up with like activist parents who talked mm-hmm. about this stuff all the time. But I did grow up in the 80s. And as a child of the 80s, you know, the Cold War and communism was in the ether and happening around me. And I remember being less compelled by the awfulness of, you know, breadlines as I was the awful idea that the government could prohibit you from saying stuff. That really kind of was jarring as a kid to confront that in sort of the kid way that I did at the time. And then a little later, the Tipper Gore music debate mm-hmm. happened. And that was a very public national conversation about controversial songs and how parents can protect their kids from hearing these songs. And what we ended up with, you know, parental advisories is fine. But over the course of that debate, censorship was kind of looming large over it. And I just remember, as young as I was, thinking, well, I don't know, I don't listen to a lot of these songs, but I don't think this is the right side of this argument.